Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. Is there any end or any limit to what our Abba can do? Is there anything that is impossible for him? Can anyone or anything contain him? Can any one of us prevent him from doing what he will do? Why then do we act as if we can? Each of us has limiting beliefs of what our Abba can and cannot do. We believe these things. We impose restrictions and limits on what he is able to do. We do. We have preconceptions and we have expectations. And we put those on him. We put our own reasoning, our own understanding, which is very limited, and we bind him with those things. The things that we strongly believe are fixed in our minds, and they affect the way we look at everything. It is all colored by this filter of our beliefs, the things that we hold on to, the preconceptions we have. And each of us has a concept in our mind about our Elohim. We have our own thoughts, our own beliefs, our own pictures of who and what he is firmly fixed in our minds. And we view him and his word through our own personal filters. So, in a way, in our minds, we are controlling what he can do because we have these things so firmly fixed in place of what we think he can do and what he should do. We anticipate his actions. We anticipate his thoughts. We anticipate what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And we limit him when we do that. Let's look at Matthew 8, verse 19. Matthew 8, verse 19. And a certain scribe, having come near, said to him, "Teacher, I shall follow you wherever you go." And Yeshua said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven nests, but the son of Adam has nowhere to lay his head." And another of his taught ones said to him, "Master, first let me go and bury my father." But Yeshua said to him, "Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And when he entered into a boat, his taught ones followed him. And see, a great gale arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered by the waves. But he was sleeping. And his taught ones came to him and woke him up, saying, "Master, save us! We are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little belief?" Then having risen, he rebuked the winds and the sea, And there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Yeshua was not even concerned at all. Here is this great storm raging all around them on the sea, so that the waves were even crashing over the boat. And he was sleeping. And you can almost see and hear his words when he wakes up. And it's as if he's saying, "Is this all you were worried about?" And then he tells them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little belief?" We need to take something away from that, because it's our thoughts and the things we believe about him and the way we define him that cause us to fear. If we believe that he is all-powerful, that he is sovereign, that he is our creator, why do we let these things in this world cause us to be afraid? We profess trust, and we profess belief, don't we? We tell people those things. "Oh yes, I believe." But how deep does it go, really? That's what we need to ask ourselves. How deep does our trust go? How deep does our belief go? We say we believe, but do we? Are we just deceiving ourselves? Are we just saying empty, meaningless words? We say we trust him with our life, but do we really? We need to search ourselves, and we need to know the answers to these questions, because our future and our eternity depend on it. He will call us out on our belief. If we profess trust and belief, expect to be tested on it. And he will test and try us to see what we do when he does not stay within the boundaries and the limitations that we impose on him. He can do whatever he wants, right? Just because we think he should do a certain thing, that doesn't mean he has to do it. And it doesn't mean he will do it. Maybe he will just step back and see what we do. We can't decide for him how he's going to act and when he's going to act and where he's going to act and who he is going to act on. We don't control him. Remember what he told Moshe. "I am who I am. I will be who I want to be. I will do what I want to do. And nobody's going to tell me different." He will take you in a direction you never expected. And he will place things on you that you never expected were coming. And you will be standing there wondering, "What happened?" Remember Job? His whole life changed very quickly, didn't it? Our Abba will escape from the box you placed him in. He will not be confined. He will not follow your ordered checklist of the things that he should do. He will not follow your plan of action for how he should act in a certain situation. He will do as he chooses to do. Whether we like it or not, whether that's what we want him to do or not, because he is sovereign and we cannot contain him. You know, we have all placed our Abba in a box of our own making. We all have him confined a way somewhere because we try to define him. And as we define him, we are imposing our own limiting thoughts on him and what he can do. We all have to try and define things. It's the way humans work. It's the way our flesh works. We want to understand. We want to have something completely defined and put it into a form that we can relate to. And that's why man is so easily pulled into idolatry. You know, man creates an image and says, this is our God. And they worship it because they want something that their mind can understand. And so it's part of the weakness of the flesh to try and define things. And in so doing, we limit them. And here is one of the reasons why we confine our Abba into a box. It's because we fear having our faith put to the test. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves and we have to face reality. And when we look deep inside ourselves, we have to admit that we're afraid to have our faith put to the test, aren't we? We all fear that. What if Abba doesn't hear me? What if he doesn't do what I think he's going to do? What if he doesn't keep his promise? We all have those fears. And we are afraid to ask and believe. Because we fear that he will not do as he has said he will do. We don't ask because we're afraid to have what we want be put to the test, aren't we? Even if we're claiming a promise he has made, we're afraid to ask for that because we are afraid he won't answer. And we have got to get past that. If we trust and believe, then we have to really trust and believe and not just say it in words. It has to be put into action. We limit our Abba and we put restrictions on him because we are afraid that all of the things that we believe about him will be found to be untrue. And so if we limit him and make him fit our own definition, then we're never going to test those things that we're afraid of, are we? Because we don't want to go there. And that's really what we need to know about our Abba, isn't it? If we're going to trust him with our very life, then we have to have faith and believe that he's going to do is that exactly as he has said. Let's go to Luke 9, verse 38. Luke 9, verse 38. And see, a man from the crowd cried out, saying, Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, for he is my only child. And see, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out, and it convulses him with foaming and scarcely leaves him, bruising him. Then I begged your taught ones to cast it out, but they were unable. And Yeshua answering said, O generation unbelieving and perverse, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down in convulsions. And Yeshua rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of Elohim. And while all were marveling at all that Yeshua did, he said to his taught ones, Lay up in your ears these words, for the Son of Adam is about to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand this saying, and it was veiled from them, so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. They were afraid to ask him. They had just seen him do this incredible thing in rebuking this unclean spirit. But yet they were afraid to ask him about what he had said. And so are we. Honestly. Deep inside, we all have doubt at some level. And that is the limit we impose on Yahweh and what he is able to do. We do that. And how can we possibly doubt that the creator of all we know, all we see, and all that we can understand is unable to do something? But that's what our doubts and fears tell us, isn't it? Oh, he won't hear me. Oh, he won't do this for me. He has promised us. We have to ask, and we have to ask in faith, and we have to ask in trust. What good does it do to ask somebody if you don't believe they're going to do what you ask them to do? You know, when we ask others to do things for us, we're believing that they're going to do it, aren't we? If we tell someone to meet us at a certain place, or if we ask someone to pick us up and take us somewhere, I mean, we're believing and we're trusting they're going to do it. So why do we limit our Abba in that way? You know, even if we have had our prayers answered before and have personally experienced him moving in our lives before, there are still times that we all doubt. Each time we come to him with something serious, each time that we come to him with a request and when we plead with him, we still have that doubt, don't we? Numbers 23, verse 16. Numbers 23, verse 16. And Yahweh came to Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, Go back to Balak and say this. So he went to him and saw him standing by his burnt offering and the heads of Moab with him. And Balak asked him, What did Yahweh say? And he took up his proverb and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. El is not a man to lie, nor a son of man to repent. Has he said, and would he not do it, or spoken, and would not confirm it? See, I have received to bless, and he has blessed, and I do not reverse it. When our Abba promises us, he means it. He doesn't break his word. And he doesn't lie to us. You know, we put human attributes and characteristics on him. And we view him that way. through those human traits and characteristics. And he's way, way above that. He doesn't react the way we do. One of the deep secrets that we all hold within ourselves is a fear to really believe and trust in Yahweh's word. When we go to him and ask him for healing, how much do we believe and trust in that? You know, when we have serious things going on in our lives, how much faith and trust is there when we go to him? It should be absolute, right? I mean, if we are trusting him to give us eternal life in his kingdom, do we not think that he cares about what happens to us in this physical world? I mean, he wants us to have prosperous lives here, and he wants us to be free from fear and worry, and he wants us to have good health, because we need all of those things, our physical state and our mental state and our spiritual state. All of those things have to be happy and in harmony for us to truly serve him with all of our might. And it doesn't mean that there's not things in this world that we're going to fear, but we're going to trust and we're going to believe that we're going to overcome those things through him. You know, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that went into the land to spy it out, that brought back a report and believed we can go in and possess this land because they trusted in Yah. That's why they had confidence. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's statue because they trusted in Yah. And even though it might have meant their death, because they said, even if he does not save us, we still will not bow down and worship your statue. And isn't that what we are told, that we're not even to fear our lives to death? I mean, where is our faith and trust? If our physical lives end, then so be it. Our hope lies beyond that, doesn't it? We have the evidence of his word and of how great he is and how he blesses those who are his. But we still listen to that voice of doubt. We listen to that voice that says, he won't hear. He won't do it. It won't happen. Why do we do that? If we profess that our faith and trust is in him, there should never be a question in our mind of our future, or that he's going to act. Let's go to Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. Our greatest wealth and treasure lies in his kingdom. And that's what we should be looking forward to. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, all your body shall be enlightened. But if your eye is evil, all your body shall be darkened. If then the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is that fear? How great is that doubt? It controls you. It darkens your light. Verse 24, no one is able to serve two masters, for either he shall hate the one and love the other, or else he shall cleave to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Elohim and Mammon. Because of this, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than the food, and the body more than the clothing? One of the things that we worry and fret about the most is our provision, isn't it? All of these things that we think we need to provide for ourselves, and all of these things that we think we need to have in order to have a happy life. Why are we not trusting in Yah for those things? Why are we not believing if we do our part, and if we do what He asks us to do, that He is going to provide? Verse 26, look at the birds of the heaven, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into storehouses, yet your heavenly Father does feed them. Are you not worth more than they? Now Yeshua is asking us the hard question, isn't he? What do we think we're worth? Maybe we don't think we have enough value for Abba to pay attention to us. Maybe we don't think that he cares about us. And that's why we doubt. And that's why we fear. Verse 27, and which of you by worrying is able to add one cubit to his life's span? How much time do we spend worrying and fretting about things? And why is that? Because of a lack of faith and trust. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Why are you worrying about these things? Note well the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed like one of these. At his greatest, at his wealthiest, with all that he had, he was not clothed as these things that Abba takes care of. But if Elohim so clothes the grass of the field which exists today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more you, O you of little belief? There it is again. O you of little belief. Why do you doubt? Why do you fear? Why do you not trust? Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these the Gentiles seek for. And your heavenly Father knows you, that you need all these. The nations spend their time in pursuit of these physical things and trying to provide for themselves. And Yeshua says that we shouldn't worry about those things because our Abba already knows what we need. Did he not provide for Israel for 40 years in the wilderness? And their sandals didn't wear out, and their clothes didn't wear out. Why do we doubt? Why do we fear? Why is there unbelief? Why is there not trust, absolute trust? Verse 33, but seek first the reign of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these matters shall be added to you. And his righteousness. We need to take on his righteousness and seek the kingdom because that's where he is. He's doing everything to help us get there. And we keep bringing up all of these excuses and throwing him in the way and say, what about this? What about that? How am I going to do this? How can I accomplish that? And he tells us not to worry about it. You seek the kingdom first, and I will give you all of the rest. You know, we think that we need certain things. And we set our own standards for what we need and the kind of lifestyle that we need. But he is saying, trust me. Seek my kingdom first, and I will give you what you need to get there. And it may be completely different than what we think we need. But his provision is always exactly what we need. And if we trust him, he will bring us to his kingdom. All right, verse 34. Do not then worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall have its own worries. Each day has enough evil of itself. And we always want to borrow trouble, don't we? We want to worry. We want to fear. We want to doubt. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? We need to quit playing the what ifs and trust. Trust in our Abba. Our lives as a people of Yahweh are dependent on faith and belief. Absolutely dependent. And if we don't have faith and trust, then what is our belief based on? What? If we don't trust that he's going to do as he has told us he will do, if we don't trust that there's a kingdom, if we don't trust that he's going to give us eternal life and place us in his kingdom, then what is our belief based on? And what hope do we really have? Do we believe in his word? And do we trust in what he is doing? Look at the world around us. Look how much fear and doubt is in people about the things that are going on in the world. Yet we should have the peace of Elohim because we know he is in control and nothing happens that he doesn't see. So why should we fear? Because everything is going to happen according to his plan. Don't we believe that? Don't we believe he is in control? I mean, we see his plan laid out, right? We know this world is heading towards the end of the age. So why can't we trust and know that our Abba knows what he is doing? That he sat down and when he began to create, he knew the end from the beginning. His whole plan was laid out before he even did anything. And we need to trust in that. And we need to believe that everything is happening according to his plan. And if we don't believe and trust in his word and what he is doing, then are we just somehow hoping that his word may be true? And we follow him just because there is nothing else better out there to believe in. You know, what he says just sounds the best out of all of the people out there who are telling us what's going to happen and how things are going to move towards the end. What lies beyond this life? You know, what our purpose is here as human beings? Do we just think that Yah's word sounds better than everything else that's out there and that's why we follow him? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. And belief is the substance of what is expected, the proof of what is not seen. For by this the elders obtained witness. By belief we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of Elohim, so that what is seen was not made of what is visible. By belief, Abel offered to Elohim a greater slaughter offering than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Elohim witnessing of his gifts, and through it having died, he still speaks. By belief, Hanok was translated so as not to see death, and was not found because Elohim had translated him. For before his translation, he obtained witness that he pleased Elohim. But without belief, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to Elohim has to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. That is so important. Let's read that again, verse 6. But without belief, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to Elohim has to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. By belief, Noah, having been warned of what was yet unseen, having feared, prepared an ark to save his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to belief. By belief, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he was about to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Oh, that's a scary thing for us, isn't it? To just take off and go somewhere and to not know where you're going or what the purpose is. Yet when Abba told Abraham to go, it says there in Genesis that he went. He didn't question. He didn't speak all of these doubts and fears. He just went. Verse 9, by belief, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger, dwelling in tents with Yitzhak and Yaakov, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking for the city having foundations, whose builder and maker is Elohim. What city would that be? The city where promised is coming down? By belief also, Sarah herself was enabled to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the normal age, because she deemed him trustworthy who had promised. And so from one, and him as good as dead, were born as numerous as the stars of the heaven, as countless as the sand which is by the seashore. In belief, all these died. In belief, all these died, not having received the promises, but seeing them from a distance, welcomed and embraced them, and confessed that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. All those years ago, the belief, the trust, the faith was there to look forward and look outward, to not put limits and restrictions on Abba, but to trust in his promises. And they recognized that they were strangers on this earth, and they were looking forward to what was coming. For those who speak this way make it clear that they seek a fatherland. And yet, if they had indeed kept remembering that place from which they had come out, they would have had the chance to return. But now they long for a better place, that is, a heavenly. Therefore, Elohim is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he has prepared a city for them. By belief, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Yitzhak, and he who had received the promises offered up his only brought forth son, of whom it was said, in Yitzhak your seed shall be called, reckoning that Elohim was able to raise even from the dead, from which he received him back, as a type. Trust, faith, belief. By belief, Yaakov, when he was dying, well, verse 20, by belief, Yitzhak blessed Yaakov and Esau concerning that which was to come. By belief, Yaakov, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Yosef and did reverence on the top of his staff. By belief, Yosef, when he was dying, made mention of the outgoing of the children of Yisrael and gave orders concerning his bones. By belief, Moshe, having been born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a comely child and were not afraid of the sovereign's command. By belief, Moshe, having become great, refused to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, choosing rather to be afflicted with the people of Elohim than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time, deeming in the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By belief he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the sovereign, for he was steadfast as seeing him who is invisible. Trust, faith. By belief he performed the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By belief they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, and when the Egyptians tried it, they were drowned. By belief the walls of Jericho fell, having been surrounded for 7 days. By belief Rahab the whore did not perish with those who did not believe, having received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to relate of Gidon and Barak and Shimson and Yiftach, also of David and Shmuel and the prophets, who through belief overcame reins, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting release to obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mockings and floggings and more, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were tried, they were sawn in two, they were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being in need, afflicted and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes of the earth. And having obtained witness through the belief, all these did not receive the promise. Elohim having provided what is better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. As long as we put limits on him and believe in those limits, we will never realize and understand him in all of his fullness and glory. How are we going to see him as he is when we have these preconceptions, when we have already decided in our own mind what he looks like, how he appears, what he can do, what his limits and boundaries are? How are we ever going to see him as he is? And if we don't see him as he is, how are we ever going to have faith and trust in him and what he can do? Because we impose our own limits and restrictions on him, as if he were a man and could only do what men can do. We've got to quit limiting our Abba. And we've got to start believing and trusting, really believing and trusting. You know, why don't we see things like we saw in the assemblies in Acts where people were healed? We have got to start believing, trusting, and taking Abba at his word. We need to lift the restrictions that we have put on him. And we need to dare to believe and trust. Dare to believe and trust. We need to challenge ourselves. And we need to really trust. Really trust. If we don't ask in faith, and in the firm belief that he will do as he has said, then what are our prayers really worth? Do we pray to him in doubt? Do we pray to him in fear and with a lack of faith? Or do we go before him and remind him of his promises? And do we trust that he can do as we have asked? Open the box and set Yahweh free. Quit keeping him confined. Quit limiting him. Quit limiting yourself. You know, we are limiting ourselves from reaching our full potential, the people that we can be under him, because we impose limits and restrictions on him. And in turn, that hurts us, because we are never going to realize our full potential and the things that we could do if we really have faith and trust. Quit limiting our Abba. Amen. You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into his truth. Shavua Tov.